the 1980s and 90s, the U.S. Navy built a fleet of nuclear-armed submarines. Their mission? Deter an attack against the United States. And if that failed, fight a nuclear war. Those submarines are now approaching the end of their lifespans. The Navy plans to build replacements. But there's growing debate over how many are needed and how to pay for them. Veteran Pentagon reporter Jamie McIntyre, who is now national security correspondent for Al Jazeera America, has been on special assignment for the NewsHour. His report was produced in partnership with the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting.
Man, battle station's missile. Spin up all missiles. Keep the watch. Sound the general alarm.
If America's strategy of nuclear deterrence ever fails, the beginning of the end might look something like this.
Submerged ship, make my depth 160 feet, aye, sir.
The U.S. Navy's ballistic missile submarines are all part of the Ohio class, named for the first submarine of the design, the USS Ohio. They have only one mission, to lurk silently deep beneath the ocean, ready to rain nuclear devastation on virtually any target, anywhere, anytime, on orders of the president. Submerged just off the coast of Hawaii, the 180-man crew of the USS Pennsylvania demonstrated for the PBS NewsHour an abridged version of what it practices every week, the subs at sea. The submarine's video screens displayed only unclassified data.
Captain, we have a verified and correct launch order directing the launch of missiles 7, 3, and 5.
And the Navy reviewed our footage to ensure nothing was compromised. What we saw was a mock doomsday scenario.
This is the captain. This is an exercise.
The launching of three nuclear-tipped missiles, enough to destroy several major cities and kill millions of people. It's a drill where there can be no questioning of orders, no consideration of consequences, no second thoughts.
Weapons initiating fire.
Very well, Supervisor.
Lieutenant A.J. Walker is the trigger man, whose job is to what's euphemistically termed close the circuit.
This is the missile compartment. It's what makes this submarine such a fearsome weapon. 24 missile tubes, each one capable of holding a Trident missile with multiple independently targeted warheads. That means this single ship could deliver massive destructive power to multiple targets around the globe.
To critics back in Washington, that raises an obvious question. If one submarine can bring on Armageddon, how many does the U.S. really need?
Thank you very much for the research on this.
Joseph Cerincione is president of the Plowshares Fund, a foundation that supports eliminating nuclear weapons.
One sub carries, at its minimum, the equivalent of 600 Hiroshimas. If they launch those missiles, if they launch those warheads, it would be a destructive event beyond history.
It's not just an academic argument. The military commander of America's nuclear arsenal, Admiral Cecil Haney, wants to upgrade the aging fleet of 14 Ohio-class ballistic missile subs in the coming decades by building 12 new next-generation subs.
Replacing the Ohio-class submarine is one of my top priorities.
Each submarine has a price tag of upwards of $5 billion, although when you count research and development, the total price climbs to over $100 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office.
However you want to calculate it, this fleet is a bargain.
Vice Admiral Mike Connor commands the Navy submarine forces. At his headquarters in Norfolk, Virginia, he makes the case for an almost one-for-one replacement of the current fleet, arguing the cost is just 1% of the overall defense budget, while the benefit is incalculable, measured, he says, in wars that never start.
The truth is that we use them every day to deter major power war.
The ballistic missile submarine is an awesome war machine. At 560 feet, it is as long as the Washington Monument is high, yet nearly invisible to enemy eyes when slinking silently deep beneath the waves, which makes it the most survivable leg of America's nuclear triad of subs, bombers, and land-based missiles.
And what would happen if they did attempt a massive strike, no matter how massive that strike was, the submarine force that is at sea would survive and be in a position to retaliate.
As the U.S. cuts the number of nuclear weapons in the latest round of reductions negotiated with the Russians, submarines will play an outsized role in the deterrence mission, carrying 70% of America's active nuclear arsenal. Still, critics like Plowshares' Joe Cirincione argue building enough new subs to destroy the world a dozen times over is expensive overkill.
If you just need this to be a deterrent force to respond in case someone is crazy enough to actually attack the United States and thereby deter them from ever doing that, well, you really could be talking about 4, 5, 6 nuclear submarines, each of which would have 16 missile tubes, each of which would carry 5 or 6 warheads. That's a lot of nuclear weapons.
But as Admiral Connor wargames various worst-case scenarios involving Russia, China, and North Korea, he insists the psychological calculus of deterrence can't be reduced to a simple math problem.
So you think about an intelligent adversary, and our adversaries in a peer competitor situation, they are intelligent, they are thinking adversaries. You wouldn't want to have a situation where there's an incentive where they say, you know, if we strike on this day, when this ship is being repaired, or when they're just leaving port and the other one's just coming in, that maybe the balance of force would change in our favor.
But ultimately, it could be money, not strategy, that torpedoes the Navy's pricey plan to design and build a state-of-the-art sub to replace the current 14.
The cost of that program has been estimated in the range of $100 billion. The Navy has said that it cannot pay for it out of its Navy budget.
At his Senate hearing to be confirmed as Joint Chiefs Chairman, General Joseph Dunford agreed. Paying for a whole new fleet of subs out of the regular shipbuilding account would bust the Navy's budget.
And what I can tell you with a degree of surety is that were we to fund the Ohio-class replacement out of the Department of the Navy, it would have a pretty adverse effect on the rest of the shipbuilding plan, and the estimates are somewhere between 2.5 and 3 ships a year.
The cost is, some people would say, outrageous. I just say it's tremendous.
Naval historian and consultant Norman Palmar says either way you fund the plan, through the normal budget or a special account, it's unaffordable and unworkable.
If Congress were to fund the Navy strategic submarines out of a separate fund, tomorrow afternoon the Air Force would come in and say, hey, Congress has approved a new bomber. We want that funded out of the separate strategic fund.
Palmar says there are smarter, cheaper ways to buy the same level of nuclear deterrence. Modifying smaller attack submarines already in service, he argues, would allow the Navy to buy fewer of the bigger ballistic missile subs.
Today, every attack submarine can carry Tomahawk land attack conventional missiles. Most of our submarines have vertical launch tubes for 12 of these Tomahawk missiles. Those missiles tomorrow, or take a couple of years, could have nuclear warheads.
But the Navy counters the smaller attack subs don't have the endurance of the bigger boomers, and that their cruise missiles don't have the intercontinental range nor carry multiple warheads that can destroy different targets. And advocates for far deeper weapons cuts say the whole debate underscores the folly of expensive new nuclear weapons that would only be used if a war were essentially already lost.
This plaque shows the USS Pennsylvania was launched in April of 1988. That makes it over a quarter century old. It, like other submarines of its class, was designed for 30 years of service, which means it would have been decommissioned in the next couple of years. But now the Navy says it's figured out how to keep those submarines running for an extra 12 years.
As soon as I give him that order, we're going to open those main ballast tank vents.
Commander John Cage is captain of the USS Pennsylvania.
So you've shown us around your boat. It looks great. Everything looks like it's spit polished and shiny. Looks like this boat could go on forever.
She still has a lot of life left in her, but it's definitely getting on in the years. There's things that we have a lot of redundant systems that I find myself using those redundant systems a little bit more. Certain components will fail. Certain things are just starting to run in past their lifetime.
Dive. All vents open.
But the sub's crew is still prepared to make the unthinkable reality.
Calling weapons on.
Webs initiating fire.
Very well, Supervisor.
7.
We do think about it. I mean, it's 7. Definitely not something we want to happen. Nobody in the boat wants it to happen.
How would you handle the crew on the boat after a launch like that when no one would sort of know what the fate of the world would be hanging in the balance? How do you keep a crew together after?
I'll tell you, that would be difficult. One of the reasons we train so frequently, the evolution you saw, we do that time and time again so it becomes something that we can execute immediately and quickly. But after that would be a very difficult time.
For this submarine, a successful deployment is one where the only projectiles from the sea are the bottlenose dolphins who playfully surf the sub's bow as it prepares to dive.
Dive, submerge the ship, make your depth, 160 feet.
Jamie McIntyre for the PBS NewsHour, aboard the USS Pennsylvania off the coast of Hawaii.
Online, we have a lot more about nuclear-armed submarines. You can watch extended excerpts of the interviews we featured and see how submarines get resupplied at sea. All that is on our website, pbs.org/news.